Blog Talk Radio.
True Crimes Podcast. Today I have a returning guest, Roberta Glass, and she's going to be updating us on what happened at the latest NXIVM hearing that was in Brooklyn, New York on July 25th, 2018. Hi, Roberta. How you doing?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, thanks for coming back. So what happened? How did it go?
Well, first of all, I'd like to – the judge asked a really important question, which I think a lot of people are asking, which is how to pronounce Keith Raniere's name.
Yes.
And it's pronounced Raniere like canary.
Oh, so, interesting. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Raniere. Okay.
I was pronouncing it correctly. I've heard a lot of different pronunciations, so that – that can put that to rest. And it wasn't...
Thank you.
It was the first time that there's been several new indictments. Nancy Salzman, also known as Prefect, she is the woman who really built NXIVM with Keith Raniere, and she's also a neuro-linguistic programming expert. She was there. And right before I went into the courtroom, I went to the bathroom, and as I was walking down these like long big marble hallways, there she was. And it was very, recognized her right away. She has a very kind of Star Trek looking appearance.
Very scary looking in person as she is in the pictures.
She is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have a really nasty vibe. And I really thought about that, whether I was bringing my own prejudices and what I knew about NXIVM into it, but I wouldn't want to hang out with any of these people. The most benign is Allison Mack. She seems she seems more like it's a psychological problem than the others seem more kind of just total narcissism and self-interest and no, compassion or openness. You know how some people have an open face or a live face? They have a very sternness. And so Claire Bronfman was there. That was with her new lawyer who is, I forget her first name. Her last name is Nichols. And she's very like a scrappy type, savvy lawyer. And that was interesting to see. And, of course, Keith Raniere was brought in by the guards from a side door, as he always is, and looking very disheveled and kind of, you know, in his prison uniform.
So the only two people, so now Allison Mack and Claire Bronfman are the only ones that were out on bail, right? And the others were spent in jail over the weekends. Or was Allison Mack in jail last weekend, too, you were saying? I was trying to figure that out.
She was in jail when she first got arrested months ago.
Okay.
She spent the weekend in jail while her parents got bail for her.
Okay.
So she's the only one who's done any jail time. Everybody else got bail. Christy Nichols got – is that right, Nichols? Is that right?
Who?
Oh, no, Nichols. Christy – what's her last name? Christy – the other woman who got indicted, Christy.
There's Nancy Salzman, her daughter Janet.
She's the one on $25,000 bail.
Oh, Russell?
Russell. She's she wasn't there, and nor was Lauren Salzman. Both of them weren't there. And they were coming in Friday to negotiate the finality of their bail agreement.
Okay.
So Nancy Salzman is out on on a hefty bail, right? Isn't it something like $5 million?
Yeah, I've got. They said that. Okay, so it's Allison Mack, Nancy Salzman, Salzman's daughter Lauren, and Claire Bronfman and Kathy Russell. I think Kathy Russell,
thank you. I'm sorry.
The secretary. Yeah, no problem. And yeah, so they all got various bails.
And apparently, Kathy Russell was like an accountant for NXIVM, and she in the bail hearing, which I didn't attend. That she didn't know what she was going to do if she couldn't work for NXIVM. And the judge was like, well, you're going to have to branch out. Sorry. Find a new job while you're out on bail. Because she's and you can tell with there's such a big disparity, you know, between $5 million and $25,000, you know. So she's
probably,
you know, in the least amount of trouble of the group or the least culpable
right.
of that group.
So they were in jail from Tuesday to Friday, though, right? They were, or Wednesday to Friday for those 2 days?
No, I thought they were out. Mm-hmm. Weren't they walking around out?
Okay. No, I thought the lower ones were in jail. Okay.
No, I don't think, the only one who's done any real significant jail time is Keith Raniere. In my opinion, I may be wrong.
Okay.
But I thought they were all walking around.
Okay, but they were all there on Wednesday when you went in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So was it really
that,
packed in there? It must have been packed, right? Was there a
packed,
lot of people
yeah.
there?
A lot of people there. A lot of interest. A lot of press.
A lot more this time, right?
Right.
A lot more
and
press this
what,
time than last
it's
time.
Really a push pull because Keith Raniere wants this trial to happen as soon as possible for two reasons. For one, he's in jail, and secondly, he wants the discovery process to be rushed so that they can get as little evidence, find as little evidence on him as possible. So they're going
yeah, they
through
don't want people to
60
learn about
devices.
Him
what? I'm sorry?
Yeah. He doesn't want the public to catch wind of him either. He's hoping to rush it so that people don't find out all about all the stuff he's done.
Right. It's a huge 20-year-old cult with so many different facets. And I can't imagine the long hours that the prosecutors are working right now.
Now, what's the woman? There's a woman. I'm sorry. There's a woman that was locked in a room for 2 years. Was she there too, or no? I thought I heard that she was there.
Might
but
have been. I don't know if I'd recognize her or know her by sight.
Okay. No, I don't think there's a picture of her. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's,
you were saying three women.
Sometimes you recognize people. Sometimes I recognize people. Sometimes I don't. There's so much stimulus, and you're trying to watch everything and the interactions. Every time anyone talked to Claire Bronfman, they knelt down to talk to her, and she was sitting in a chair, sort of like looking down at her, the kneeling person talking to her, you know, squatting person talking to her. It was very regal, like.
Oh, so her lawyers were bowing down to her.
No, just this other people who came to talk to her. I don't know who they were.
Oh, interesting.
I have no idea.
Cult members, maybe. No? Okay.
Who knows?
Who would kneel to her?
She was very comfortable with it. She's clearly in control and has a lot of power in that group. I mean, obviously in a cult, one person has almost all the power and everybody else is doing their bidding, but she's high up. You know, she's high up in that group. And her money talks. And her money funded it, kept it going.
Now, did you see Claire and Keith exchange looks or anything?
Yeah, Keith's always, like, looking at people, trying to get people to look at him. And he is, you know, just very happy to be there and not in jail. That was the vibe I got. You know, apparently when he was in prison, he was going to the medical office so much that he got banned from being allowed to go. So I hope he doesn't get sick for real. He had cellulitis and just wanted to get out of his cell. So he had like little complaints that he would ask to go see the doctor for, and he abused it. So he looked very happy to be, not in jail and in the courtroom. Also, the other thing that was interesting is when he's in prison that he always shows up first at meals and eats everything on his plate of the horrible prison food.
Really?
The Brooklyn prison. I found that really interesting.
I thought he'd be in isolation. He's not in isolation because he's high profile or whatever.
He's in a special unit for, I think, the sex offenders unit.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. Yep. He's there, first thing. And
well, you know,
Allison Mack,
he'd probably be very good at manipulating, since he's so good at manipulating people in the cult. He's probably a fit right in jail. He'd probably learn how to manipulate prisoners, too, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I wonder how street savvy he is. You know, I wonder when he gets up with the big manipulators, when the little psychopath is with the big psychopath, who wins, you know?
He's going to have to work out a lot more if he's going to win anything.
Yeah. He looks very pretty boy-ish. I was surprised by that. I always thought he was a schlub and kind of gross, but I looked at him and I was like, he really does, for his age, look pretty young and, you know, well looked after. And I guess that if you have women, a team of women taking care of your every whim, I guess that won't age you. So.
I guess, well, he's never worked a day in his life, right? So he's not really had to.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a con
being
artist.
A god, you know.
Right. And the other interesting thing is Vanessa Gorgatiadis, who wrote the New York Times Magazine piece, The Love Letter to Nexium, was in attendance, and she was sitting on the defense side, you know, of the courtroom. So I don't know if she is working for Claire Brofman as some kind of PR person, or if she made friends with them and she's there as a friend, or if she's writing a book.
Or all three.
Both. And both those can be all three, right?
Right. Yeah, possibly. Sounds like it.
Yeah. I was shocked.
Did you see her?
Shocked to see her.
So now you were talking also, you said that a bunch of them huddled behind Allison Mack. And you thought there was something
to
it. It was very odd. Now I'm wondering.
I thought your conclusion was very insightful, which is that, okay, so Allison Mack was sitting at this long table, which is the defense table, facing forward with her, you know, elbow down, both elbows down on the table. And everybody was, like, everybody but Keith Raniere, like, Claire Brofman and the rest of their lawyers were standing behind her in a huddle.
Now, I'm wondering, was
and
it because
so,
there was nowhere else to meet, or was they purposely, like, was it, how big is the space? Like, is that
no,
the
there
space
was enough room
it,
to not stand directly behind Allison Mack.
Okay.
There were
okay.
other places that they could have huddled where behind Claire Bronfman's chair, which it would have been much less awkward and a little bit more room.
So now Claire Brofman and the rest of them. So Claire Brofman actually got up from her chair and stood behind Allison Mack.
Right.
The rest of them?
And they all huddled like a football team, not, you know, facing foot, but standing upright, huddling, talking in a small huddle. Very weird. It was like, you're not in it. So I'm hoping Allison Mack, who they all pled guilty, I'm hoping she will negotiate
a plea
deal.
I mean, they all pled not guilty.
Yeah, they all pled not guilty. And I hope she will negotiate a plea deal.
Wow. Well, she should.
But time's running out. You know, the idea was that this would help discovery, that what she disclosed would help, you know, help them in discovery by negotiating a plea deal early. But that has not happened. So.
Wow.
To, you know, cooperate with
them. Would we know if it happened? Or because was she talking to them? If they're not talking to each other, that a lot of news sites have said that the fact that she wouldn't look at Raniere.
Raniere,
because she wouldn't look at Canary, so and she wasn't talking to them. So that people inferred from that she must have made a deal already, or she's contemplating one, it looks like. It's in the body language, I guess.
I hope so.
Because the rest of them were together, right? Bronfman and Salzman and Russell, they were all together. But just her on the outs. So that's interesting.
Yeah. They are people you just would not want to know. That's all I have to say. I kept thinking of the Evil League of Evil. That's what they look like. It looked like a meeting of the Evil League of Evil.
So now they're... So what else happened?
What else happened? there was one moment where the prosecutor, there's three women prosecutors who come to these hearings, and they all have long dark brown hair, and sometimes they all wear black suits, so they look sort of like the Charlie's Angels of prosecutors, very like cast from Central Casting, Hollywood Casting, for a young woman prosecutor. And she said, you know, look, I'm really concerned because, and she kept referring to NXIVM as a criminal organization. And she's, criminal enterprise, that the defendants only talk to each other in the presence of a lawyer because she's worried that witnesses will be intimidated. And first up to rebut that was Keith Raniere's lawyer, who said, oh, you know, we have to interview people. We have to, you know, we have to put on a defense. We have to interview people. And we do not want to be limited, you know, and obviously we would never do anything, you know, unethical, kind of like, you know, offended at the suggestion. But this guy is such a scrappy kind of, you know, not Better Call Saul lawyer, but like a sophisticated but clever lawyer who I wouldn't think would be the most ethical. You know, my impression isn't that he might not be the most ethical. That's my opinion impression, that he might not be the most ethical, you know, person in the world. But
what, a lawyer,
you know,
not ethical? Come on.
Yeah, right. please don't sue me. And and then Claire Bronfen's lawyer stood up and said, well, you know, if you have any concerns, just come and talk to me, which is such a great response, because how would the prosecution know until after it happened who was, you know, doing something that would, you know, you know what I mean? Like,
unfair.
Oh, just come talk to me about it. Like,
that's condescending.
This doesn't have to be. Don't put any limits on these defendants, these fine people. Just come talk to me about it, really.
Well, that, see, I'm seeing there's an age difference, an experience difference between the defense lawyers and the prosecution, and that sounds kind of condescending to me, that she would say, well, come talk to me and ask me, young ones.
Right.
You know, like, it sounds like there's an imbalance here, or an imbalance between the defense and the prosecution.
Right. There's an experienced male prosecutor who will prosecute this case, but he's not showing up for these, you know, small-time hearings, you know, yet.
Okay.
And I'm worried that these are young. I hope that these female prosecutors are savvy enough and confident enough not to put up with anything, because any of this. Nonsense.
Well, I mean, NXIVM has a long history of being in court. I mean, they've been in and out of court for the past 20 years, so they have a lot of experience dealing with all this. They've got all kinds of lawyers everywhere they've hired, right? So this is
right.
What's
happening. Very much like Scientology, where they punish people who go up against them by just putting them through horrible court cases. And they've also had help. They've also had paid off other powerful people to go after their enemies.
Well, I was reading that they were suing. They sued journalists at the Albany Times, and they've sued ex-members, like you said. And there were many complaints filed to Governor Cuomo at the time. And Bronfman was a big,
sponsor.
It's
Keith Raniere really studied Scientology. And there are many words that are the same in NXIVM and Scientology. I think it's is it repressive person, or is that what it is?
Oh,
like someone with their
yes,
what is that?
Or something, someone who leaves.
Suppressive person, and the idea of suing people, and the idea of going up in levels. So in Scientology, you pay for each level as you work your way up and get more status. In NXIVM, you work your way up with sashes. You know, you go from one color sash to the next.
And you pay thousands of dollars.
I'm sorry?
And thousands of dollars.
And you pay thousands of dollars.
Savings. Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter after you've paid all that money what you're getting. If you pay that much money, you're going to find some value in it because you don't want to think you wasted that much money for nothing, for just, like, nothing.
Right.
It's a good way to
right.
make what you have valuable and important.
Yeah, it's awful. That's awful. Because they were even saying that the Russell, the secretary there, she's been part of the group for, what, almost 10 years, and she couldn't afford a $2,500 bail, something like
yeah.
that. Her mother had to come bail her out. They have these people have no
money. And even Claire Brossman's not doing so well for her. You know what I mean? She's sunk a lot of money into NXIVM.
Oh, yeah, millions.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
$56 million at one time she gave him, which he lost in the commodities market. And her rationalization was that her father had manipulated the entire commodities market to make Keith Raniere look bad.
Yeah.
So that will show you the power of the cult.
Yeah, Keith Raniere on her. It's very interesting. Now, but you didn't really notice any, like, they can't talk to Raniere when they're in court. Raniere has to sit at the side. They can't talk to him or something?
Yeah, they can talk to each other with their lawyers present, but they don't really talk. I didn't see them talking to him too much at all. I didn't see any of that.
Which is kind of interesting. And I wonder what that was about, because isn't he the big leader? I mean, they're not talking to him? That seems kind of odd.
Very odd. I don't know what's going on.
Somewhere.
I have a feeling that they have many different systems to communicate, and they don't want to publicly look too interested in him. But I think behind the scenes, I think they figured out ways to game the system.
Oh, yeah.
With
yeah.
using Claire Bronfman's money, influence, and just figured out a way.
Yeah, yeah. They must have. It sounds like it, because otherwise, yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, who
and
else
Allison
did you see
Mack's
there?
Lawyer looks like the most ethical of the bunch, I'd have to say, of the lawyers there.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't make any arguments that he would never do anything because he's too good of a person. So, which to me is like the alarm bell, the liar's argument. And I hope he negotiates a good deal for. I mean, I hope he gets her to make a plea deal. That will be the big difference, I think.
But so that would take down, because now if Allison Mack made a plea deal, she could take down the rest of them pretty much, because she's.
Yeah.
And what about Catherine?
I think.
What about? Go ahead. Sorry.
What about Catherine Oxenberg?
Yeah, her daughter India. Because
yeah.
I was watching a clip with Catherine Oxenberg talking, and I just found out that Allison Mack was the master of Catherine Oxenberg's daughter, India. So I'm wondering, huh?
Yes. Yeah, they used to call Allison Mack Pimp Mack, as she would bring in so many women for Keith Raniere to sleep with.
Oh, my God.
And I lost my train of thought. But Catherine Oxenberg is at every hearing. She's a really devoted mom, and it's a very sad situation that her daughter is completely devoted to this cult and is in a really serious situation and could be indicted also.
Yeah, so who else is going to be indicted? What was the feeling on that? What was the any statements on that about any more indictments?
No, there was no hints. There is no hints. They said they're going through 60 devices right now.
What does that mean?
Meaning like cell phones, computers, tablets.
Oh, okay.
They're
okay.
sifting through all this information to try to figure out, you know, try to find out.
And Claire Bronfman,
you know.
Now I found interesting too, is that she was charged with tampering into her father's email. And I read the story. It said that she wanted to spy on her father and his emails because he was a major Clinton donor, Hillary Clinton donor, and that she sent him an email with a picture of a bear, and he didn't click on it, so she actually went to his office and said, here, I want to show you this picture, and made him click on it so that he would download a keylogger onto his computer. Did you hear that story?
No. I haven't. That's a great story.
I got forwarded to you. Isn't that unbelievable? I was like, what a... And now he's gone now. Now, before he died, his daughters, Sarah and Claire, encouraged him to take a class at NXIVM for like $10,000 or something. And then when he heard that they gave Keith Raniere $2 million, he left it and said they were a cult. And I think now he's gone now. He passed away. But it's really sad because he was estranged from his daughters. You know, NXIVM basically tore that family apart. And is that the only family? There's, you know, Catherine Oxenberg's family and there's other families that are just torn apart by this cult.
Allison Mack's parents were supportive and they took NXIVM classes too. But I just wanted to say one thing. This is when I lost my train of thought that I think is important, which is Allison Mack, the idea of NXIVM, they're very obsessed with the word ethical and taking responsibility. And they tried to convince Allison Mack to take credit for the entire DOS, which is the branding sex slave portion of NXIVM, and say it was her idea. And she told Vanessa Guarantiotis that it was her idea because it's like a tattoo, that getting a brand on your hip from a surgical tool with your flesh burning and no anesthesia with women holding you down for a half an hour is the same thing as a tattoo. And it would be a bonding experience. So she already had begun doing that, and the press were writing with no skepticism about saying that Allison Mack, the whole, you know, DOS program was Allison Mack's idea. And so
that is why it's so important for her to
I'm worried if she doesn't take a plea deal that she will say all of DOS was her idea, go on the stand and lie.
Yeah, they'll probably try to pin it on her anyways, whether she says it or not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely try to pin it on her, and they'll use the New York Times Magazine interview as evidence, I would think, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that would come up.
Right. It's really scary. There's a lot of times, if you look at the Rajneesh cult, how the Rajneesh flew off unscathed, the women did the jail time. I don't think it will end up like that with this cult, but it's interesting how they want the women to take the fall here for Keith Raniere, you know?
Well, it seems like it's the poor women. It looks like that, as you know, the Frank report, Frank was writing about how Claire Bronfman's getting, even though she had to pay a higher bail, but she's still getting, she seems to be getting preferential treatment, you know, by the courts. They're going. She goes first whenever with the hearings that they have for their bail and she doesn't want to have to be confined to her apartment. She's working on getting that, you know, released.
She's
trying to get out of
risk. She is the reason Keith Raniere was a flight risk was because of Claire Bronfman's money.
Right.
So Claire Bronfman has Claire Bronfman's money. But apparently she's not not so much of a flight risk. Her bail was approved. You know, there are some rumors that she is influencing people with her money behind the scenes, and there were some predictions that she wouldn't be indicted at all. That these young, kind of, you know, straight-laced prosecutors are going up against some really moneyed, influential people who are trying to keep Claire Bronfman out of trouble. But that didn't happen, thank heavens. So I'm just happy that she'll have to answer to some of what she did.
Yes, well, at least something of the last 20 years of crimes. Jeez.
Right.
Gosh, about time.
I think we just know the tippy surface. And I'm very disappointed when I read that this is a Clinton cult. And there's this guy, did you look at that at all, who said
he's trying to get attention. Yeah.
And now he's gone missing. He's gone missing.
So they say.
Mysteriously. And presumed dead. After a week, he's probably in his basement, hanging out, lapping up the press. I mean, this is just a con. But people believe it because they want to believe it.
It's a distraction. I think it's a total, he wants some attention, and so he's distracting people. I don't know if there's a law against that, but that's what they're doing.
People can be Clintons, have voted for Clinton and still be in a cult and not be directly doing Hillary Clinton's bidding. That can happen.
Yeah.
Democrats.
Yeah.
Sometimes
the whole
get
his whole
call.
Story was made up. I don't know. I think people think his whole story was made up. That one. Although,
oh,
one
it's completely made
go.
Up.
So,
yeah.
So one last thing. So they wrote about the fact that when the judge asked Ranieri's lawyer what his plea was, the lawyer at first said guilty and then said not guilty. Is that
oh,
true?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was
this is kind of a
Ranieri's
laugh.
Face. The Freudian slip.
Freudian
right.
slip, if there ever was one.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay,
his
so
lawyer
next,
said this is a really interesting case, and he's looking forward to it, and the judge is looking forward to it. Everybody thinks this is an interesting case, who's involved in it.
Oh, God, yeah.
It is.
It is interesting. It's just so overwhelming. There's just so much out there, so much they've done. It's a lot to go through.
It's so extensive, and there's so many different people, and I just never feel like I know enough.
Yes, there's always more to learn.
Yeah, I keep a little notebook of notes. That's how I go through it because I try to keep track of all of it. So many different branches and people, and it's 20 years old. So,
it's
been going on for a long time.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, we've run out of time, but thanks again for if you want to hear more of what Roberta Glass reports on YouTube, what's the YouTube address again? Just make sure I get it right this time.
Roberta Glass, all one word, at YouTube. Or I'm also on Spreaker, too.
Spreaker, great. All right, well, thank you so much for being on True Crimes Podcast again.
My pleasure, Liz. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Bye.